Yeah, that'd be real awkward, amen. But look at verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for a wonderful opportunity, God, just to fellowship together, to meet up together, rub shoulders with each other, God, encourage one another. God, we don't realize, Lord, how much we encourage one another just by being here tonight, Lord, to know that there are folks that are still wanting to attend church on a Wednesday night, God, that are still wanting to hear from heaven in the middle of their weeks, God, not just they want to, God, we need to. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd work in our hearts. God, would you hide me behind the cross of Calvary? God, would you in and out of myself, fill me with the Spirit of God tonight, Lord, and simply use me for your glory. God, what a privilege it is to serve you, to live for you, to honor you, and God, to let my life be used by you, Lord. And I'm thankful, Lord, just for all that you've done for me, God, and all that you're doing for me, Lord, and all that you're going to do. We do thank you, Lord, tonight that we have the promise of heaven waiting on us, Lord, that this world is not our home. God, that one day we'll leave this place behind for a place that is absolutely, totally, 100%, completely perfect. And God, we can't wait for that day. But Lord, while we're here, God, help us, Lord, to share the gospel. Help us to tell other people that Jesus saves. Well, what a privilege, God. What a responsibility, God, you've entrusted us with. God, help us to make full use of it. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, Proverbs 19, and I mentioned this in previous weeks, that we go from 19, I think 24, 25, chapter 24, 25. Each chapter will contain some moral issues. It will contain some ethical issues. It will also contain some spiritual issues. So process of elimination, we've covered the moral, we've covered the ethical here in Proverbs 19. So tonight, we'll look at the spiritual issues that are brought up here in Proverbs 19. Not necessarily there are issues that are problems in that sense, but rather there are spiritual truths that we can see and derive out of the scriptures tonight that can apply to our everyday life. But then in order to get to this reality tonight or this place tonight, we have to answer the question, can a person be both moral and ethical without being spiritual? Can a person be moral and ethical without being spiritual? And I believe the answer to that question is yes. Right, because there are people who act morally and people who act ethically but are not spiritual. In essence, they are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not saved by the grace of God. Matter of fact, even in our own country tonight, many of our conservative friends, we would call them, they are moral and they are ethical, but many of them are not Christian in that sense. They are not spiritual in that sense. Matter of fact, there are people who act morally, ethically, not based off of spiritual things, but rather based off the law of the land, right? They do not commit murder because there is a law in a rule book that says if I do that, then more than likely I'm facing life in prison. Therefore, I do not want to spend life in prison. I am not going to go against the moral law of the land. And so we see tonight that one can be both moral, or someone can be both moral and ethical without being spiritual. But the reality also is tonight, if one is spiritual, then they will be both moral and ethical. In essence, tonight, a spiritual person does not desire or is not comfortable with operating immorally or unethically. Tonight, with the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you and he guides you and directs you and he comforts you in your lowest moments, that same Holy Spirit is going to deal with you or call you out or convict you when you and I decide to do what we know is wrong. Or we are leaning towards that direction tonight. And so we see tonight a spirituality tonight is not an outward work. Reality is spirituality starts in the heart. In essence tonight, spirituality is far more than hemlines and haircuts. We know tonight that spirituality starts in the heart. Now, those moral issues, those ethical issues, those are those outward actions, right? Those outward stances that you and I have. But really, the Christian, their spirituality is not decided from the morality, but rather their spirituality guides them in those moral decisions tonight. We see a spiritual person settles their heart before they start any action. It's settled in their heart. Well, so why, preacher? Because a spiritual person knows their heart's capability. Look at verse number 21 tonight. The Bible said there are many devices in a man's heart. Interesting, a book written in the 1600s uses the word device. We are living in the device generation, aren't we? You got devices for everything. And if there isn't one, there's going to be one next week, amen? They are going to make devices. I was just reading, and I mentioned this a little bit on Sunday night. I was just reading about that man that they planted a computer chip into his brain. He's a quadriplegic, and he used that computer chip and that surgery so he could play a computer game for 6 hours straight. He said he could move the cursor on the screen with his brain. Blows my mind, but we're living in a device generation, right? We have devices for everything. Most of you got one in your pocket or your pocketbook tonight. It's a device. It's a cell phone. But when we look at the Bible, when we look at Proverbs, Solomon wasn't necessarily talking about iPhones and Samsungs and all those kind of things, but rather he was talking about the imaginations of our heart. Those things that you and I think about. Those things that pop into your mind. Now, let's get real good and honest tonight. Is every thought that you've had today been a spiritual thought? Were you thinking spiritually when they pulled out in front of you on the way here? Were you thinking spiritually when you pulled into McDonald's and for some reason they thought you were at a sit-down restaurant and not a fast food drive-through? Right, every thought and every imagine, every device that comes into our mind, into our heart, is not always spiritual, and a spiritual person recognizes that. Therefore, they know before there's any action, my heart must be settled. Because my heart must be settled on the Word of God, because it knows its capability. Their mind left to itself and unguarded will become a dangerous place. With anything ranging from depression to arrogancy. Can come out of our heart and come out of our mind tonight. But just because we go to church 3 times a week, just because we carry the right Bible, just because we know how to act, we know when to say amen, does not mean that our mind is completely in control. And it's not there. It's a daily battle. Right? The greatest battle you'll probably fight in your Christian life is that one between your ears. Right? Your mind, that mind battle that you have. And a spiritual person knows their heart's capacity. I know how far my heart can get away from God if I let it. I know its capability. A spiritual person also knows their heart's control. They know how far it can get, but they also know what controls the heart or what we have that we can use to control the heart. The Bible says right there, verse 20, the counsel of the Lord. What is it? That is the Word of God tonight. That's why your Bible is of the utmost importance. It's not just because it looks real nice and it's got a nice cover on it and it makes people think you're a Christian. Listen, if you remove the Word of God out of the life of a Christian and they can operate like nothing's wrong, something is wrong. Tonight, we ought to learn and realize that if we don't have God's Word, something is missing in our life. This is what we use to control our heart. This is what we use to get our heart in line, right? Because the Bible says the counsel of the Lord right there, that shall stand. Your heart left to itself, it will go anywhere and everywhere and fall down in the middle of all of it. But the Bible will always be true. The Bible will always have what you need. They constantly and consistently ask this, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about my attitude? What does the Bible say about my outlook? What does the Bible say about my desires, my dreams, my goals? And tonight you say, well, preacher, you mean I need a chapter and verse for everything in my life? It probably wouldn't hurt to have it backed up by the Word of God tonight. But we can't live off our heart's principles. Our hearts are always changing. Disney followed their heart. Look where it got them. We see here tonight that our hearts can get far out there. How do we control that? Through the Word of God. We put our mind and our heart under the authority of God's Word. I feel like I'm alone, preacher. But what does God's Word say? He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I feel like God's given up on me. I feel like God has cast me out. A man can't pluck him out of, no man can pluck you out of his hand. I'm leaning towards, but what does the Bible say? A lot of times people come to me and say, preacher, what does the Bible say about this? And I've been asked some real, real weird questions. What does the Bible say about this? And to some of them, I had to say, I have no idea. I'm not sure yet. I'll try my best to figure it out. But we see here tonight, when's the last time you asked yourself, what does the Bible say about this or that? about my heart tonight. We see a spiritual person knows their heart's control. We see a spiritual person knows their heart's capabilities. And when you and I get our hearts settled, we have begun the first step, so to speak, of living the spiritual life. A heart that is in tune and in step with God tonight. I want to give you three observations tonight that we can make about a spiritual person whose heart is right out of Proverbs 19. Notice number one tonight, we see a spiritual person's sincerity. We're looking at verse 17 and verse 22. There's a lot of things you can fake in life. Right? There's a lot of things you can fake in life or make people think you're something that you're not. Right? There's a lot of things that we can pretend at, but here's the thing. You cannot fake spirituality. Matter of fact, fake spirituality is mere religion. That's all it is. That's why Jesus dealt so hard with the Pharisees, because they were claiming to be spiritual, but they were not. They were religious. Moral, ethical, but not spiritual. And we see here tonight that we can't fake that. I remember someone telling me one time, Brother Tate, all you have to do is fake it until you make it. And then once you make it, what do? And if you faked it to make it, where did you make it to? Right, the reality is that you cannot fake spirituality. Yes, you may fool some people, and you may get by on some people, but you will not fool God. We know that tonight. And here's reality. True spirituality isn't just genuine in practice, but it is also genuine in purpose. It is sincere. A spiritual person will be sincere. Notice here, a spiritual person has sincere intentions. Look at verse 22. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. A poor man is better than a liar, but a desire of a man is his kindness. Let me ask you, did you desire kindness today? Now, we oftentimes want people to be kind to us. I don't know about you. I don't like people being mean to me. I don't like people picking on me in a negative sense and trying to put me down because they don't like me. I mean, I like to pick and play, but if I find out you're being serious about it, that changes everything. But we see it or not, we all desire for people to be kind to us. But a spiritual man's intentions is allow the kindness or the grace of God that is present in his life to be shared to those that are around them. Now you ask it this way, did anybody see or did anybody notice or could anybody pick up on the grace of God in your life by how you act and by how you talk and by how you live? Right, the spiritual person has sincere intentions. But with all this before him, how can I use all that God has given me and all that God has blessed me with and all that God has put in my lap, so to speak, how can I use all of that to show others the grace of God? Those things that God has given me, those things he's placed in my life, how can I take that which he's given me and use it to not only honor him, but allow others to see the grace of God in my life? Well, what means have I been given that through those means I can extend the grace of God to others? Now, notice what it says right here in verse number 22. The desire of a man is kind of that is to take all that God has given him and to express kindness with it or to extend the grace of God tonight. And a poor man is better than a liar. A poor man is better than a liar. In essence, it's better to be without much and to know and to do and act like a Christian, in essence, than it is to say, I'm a Christian, but I ain't going to act like one. And I ain't going to live like one. It's better to be poor and to become poor by doing right and by pleasing the Lord than it is to be a liar. And so we see tonight a spiritual person has sincere intentions. Now that a spiritual person has sincere investments. Has sincere investments. Look at verse number 17. The Bible said, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. A spiritual person has sincere investments. Let me ask you, does a Christian have to give every person that is out there begging money? No. Matter of fact, what did Peter tell old buddy that was begging? Silver and gold. Have I none? But what I do have, he said, I do have Jesus and I can give him to you. And we see here tonight that a spiritual person has sincere investments, Acts 3:6, where that takes place. But here's, when you do give of what God has blessed you with, what mindset do you give with? Because if our mindset is off and our mindset is not spiritually grounded, we will give, and then the end of it will be bitterness, anger, aggravation. What are they doing? I gave that to them. Why are they doing that with it? You ever had them thoughts? Well, they done lost their mind. They probably have. And we see it or not, a spiritual person, they're not necessarily giving out of obligation. They're not giving out of requirement, but rather God has moved upon your heart, and therefore you have given to them because God has put it in your heart to do so. The reality is, what we have to learn is we're not necessarily giving it to them, but rather we are honoring God or obeying God. In essence, we are giving with the mindset as if we are giving it to God, because reality is, it's His. Right? We don't own anything. We don't. It's all on loan from God. He has blessed us with it. He's given it to us. He's been more than gracious to us. And so when we give, we don't give with a mindset of I'm giving it to them, but rather I'm giving it to the Lord. And then because I'm giving it to the Lord, they are just the recipient of it. Because when you and I give merely to give to people, there is no reward there. There is no promise there. Right, but we see tonight when you and I give, and we give unto the Lord, we know you can't outgive God. You give it to Him. Look what it says right there in verse number 17. Sorry. And that which He hath given, will He pay Him again. Now, I'm not of the group that says, well, you give somebody $10, God's going to give you $100 back. But I do know this. When you give, and you give in the name of the Lord, and you give under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and by the obedience to the Word of God, when you give and you give cheerfully, you give right, God is going to bless it. You may not have six figures when it's all said and done, but He will give you peace. He'll give you joy and contentment. And I don't know about you, peace is worth a whole lot more than a few dollars. Because there's many men out there right now who've got far more money than you have, and you'll probably ever have. But right now you've got more peace than they've ever experienced in their life. And so we see it tonight that a spiritual person has sincere investments. The Lord will take care of me. I'm giving it in His name. He always pays back with interest. He always gives back to you more than you've given to Him. I mean, it starts in your salvation, right? Let me ask you, when you got saved, what did you give God? Lord, here's my sin. Here's my failures. Here's my messed up life. Oh, that's just wonderful, isn't it? That's what everybody wants. And you gave Him almost pretty much, you could say, nothing of value. And what did He give you? Life eternal? Joy unspeakable? Peace that passes understanding? Mercy that's new every morning? Grace that is sufficient? He outgave you from the get-go. We still playing catch-up. Here's the good news. You ain't ever going to catch up, amen? Thank God He's got way more than you could ever dream. But let me ask you, all right, can your spirituality be seen through your sincerity? In essence tonight, do you have sincere intentions, sincere investments? A spiritual person, we can see a spiritual person's sincerity. But notice number two, we can also see a spiritual person's safety. A spiritual person's safety. Look at verse number 6. And he that keepeth the commandments keepeth his own soul. But he that despiseth his ways shall die. You know tonight that $2.9 billion will be spent this year in self-defense and self-protection? $2.9 billion. Prices like that, I'm going to go buy me a 3D printer. Start printing off 9mm. For your protection, come buy the preacher's pistol. A catchy name, isn't it? Amen. Amen. It'll help you. Never mind. I'm not going to go there. Someone might take that the wrong way. Notice self-defense, but it's a $2.9 billion industry. People go a long ways to make sure they're protected, to make sure they feel safe, to make sure they are guarded. And I'm not against those things. I mean, I've got a lock on my door. I've got personal protection. Right, I've got you know, alarm on my car. I got those kind of things. I'm not against those things, but the reality is, and how do you put a dollar value on a life anyways? Right, what is the value you can put on life to protect it? A smart person understands the value of safety, and so does a spiritual person. They understand the value of being spiritually safe so to speak, or keeping themselves in a safe place. Safe people are often ridiculed or teased for being scaredy cats. Hey, come jump off the side of this hill with me. Come jump off the side of this cliff into the water with me. No, thank you. Oh, you're just a scaredy cat. No, I'm being safe. Because I believe far less people have died standing right here than they have jumped off the cliff. So I'm being safe. And oh, you're just a scaredy cat. And here's the thing tonight. One of the things the devil's going to do with the young people is he's going to try to make you feel like you're less than a man or less than a woman if you don't do those things. Right, but the greatest thing you can realize, young people, that it is always good to be safe. Someone calls you, someone says, hey, come over here, and in that immediate, you know it just doesn't feel right. If you don't have peace, stay still. And don't move. Stay still until God gives you peace. Ain't no point in getting, ain't no need to rush into nothing. Safe people often ridicule or tease for being scaredy cats, and it's one of Satan's temptations. Why don't you just live a little? Take a little risk. Enjoy life a little bit. God will be all right with it. God, just because God allows you to do something does not mean God is all right with it. We see here tonight that a spiritual person isn't a thrill seeker, so to speak. They're not trying to see how close they can get to the line without crossing the line. Rather, a spiritual person says, you know what? That God put that line real clear. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to make sure I don't go anywhere near that line, because on the other side of the line ain't nothing worth going over for anyways. Right? That's a spiritual person. It's not the person who can get as close to sin as they can, but rather a spiritual person that says, how far can I get away from it? Right? We make fun of people. They don't go to the movie theaters. They don't have a television in their house. They don't have these kind of things and those kind of things. The reality is there's probably good reason why they don't. And instead of just mocking them and making fun, why don't we learn from them? I said, what brought you to that? What made you come to that kind of place? A spiritual person isn't a thrill seeker. They are a truth seeker. Why? The truth secures them. Notice the verse right there. It says, or the verb right there in verse number 16, it is the word keepeth. Right? That is not one who necessarily does everything absolutely perfectly all the time. If that was the case, it wouldn't apply to us. Look at verse number 6. He that keepeth, that who guards, that who treasures, that who observes, that who gives heed to. What? What are we to give heed to? The commandment. Right? Or the commandments that are given to us from the Lord. The safest place a Christian can be is in the middle of God's will, obeying and trusting the scriptures. Why? The scriptures never fail. The word of God never returns void. Just think about this tonight. Just think about dollar value of how much you've invested personally into your family's safety or your well-being or your own personal safety. Some of you have invested quite a few dollars into those things. You invested into things you'll probably never use. Right, we go to great lengths to do that. Let me ask you, how much have you invested into your spiritual safety? God, how can I stay? Lord, help me to stay far, far away from those things that I know that can destroy me, that are destructive. God, give me truth from the word of God. That way when Satan comes with temptation, I know I can't beat him with my feelings. I know I can't beat him just with my friends. I know I can't just beat him with what I think I heard the preacher say. Lord, I need your word to keep me safe. A spiritual person is concerned with their safety. A spiritual person, we can see their sincerity. We can see their safety. And notice number 3 tonight, we can see a spiritual person's satisfaction. Verse 23 and verse number 8 tonight. You ever had to fill out one of those customer satisfaction surveys? On a scale of 1 to 10, would you please rate your experience at our store, at our restaurant? And I get 0, right? Absolutely terrible. Probably never coming back. 10, exceptional, above. Greatest experience I've ever had here. I get 5, right? It wasn't exceptional, but it wasn't the worst. It was normal. It was routine. But what's the difference between like 6 and 7? How do you? Oh, whew. They're not quite a 5. They're not really a 7. They're probably a 6. But what are the justifications there? If it was me tonight, it would be more like this. You have 3 options. Bad, exceptional, normal. How was your experience? Right, the reality is, tonight, but There is a phrase that ought to be an oxymoron. Now calm down, I did not call you a moron. But an oxymoron is two words put together that just don't make sense, like government intelligence. It just doesn't make sense. Right? Same difference. If they're different, how are they the same? If they're the same, how are they different? But there's a phrase tonight that ought to be an oxymoron. It is unsatisfied Christian. An unsatisfied Christian. I'm not talking about becoming complacent. I'm not talking about striving and desiring all that God has for you, but rather saying you step back and saying, I don't have everything I need in Christ. Or He is not everything that I need. And tonight, if we get real honest about it, we know that He's more than enough. The reality is tonight, as a Christian, we ought never get to a place where we become unsatisfied with what God is, what God has done for us and who He is to us and how He's changed our life. And that's tonight, that phrase ought to become an oxymoron in the church. We ought not to come together and just complain about how bad God has been to us, because we'd all be lying, because He's been more than good to us. And here's the thing tonight, it can be when we understand the truth of verse number 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide, what? Satisfied. You shall abide satisfied. Everything may not be perfect in your life. That's okay. I'm satisfied. Every answer that you're searching, you may not have yet. That's okay. I'm satisfied. Every problem that you're facing may not be solved, but it's okay. I'm satisfied. How in the world can you be satisfied? Why? I have the fear of the Lord. It's not me cowering somewhere saying, I hope God can't find me, but rather it's me knowing who He is, and based off of who He is, I'm going to worship Him, I'm going to praise Him, and I'm going to know He is more than enough for me, whether nothing else changes. The fear of the Lord is not based solely off of what God has done for you, but who He is. And when we remember who He is, it tends to life. I don't know how it was with you tonight as you heard these testimonies. When they were testifying what God had done for them and who God is in their life, I didn't say, well, I wish they'd just be quiet. Oh, why do they? I'm just tired of everybody bragging on the Lord. Why can't we just come in here and complain to each other? Right, because that wouldn't be church. There may be churches that do that, but it ain't going to be us, amen? Well, I'm next week, preacher, I'm going to start complaining. Y'all know what a drop kick is? Complain and find out. Who's going to drop kick me, preacher? Complain and find out, amen? Verse number 3, the fear of the Lord, the respect of we have towards and of the Lord because of who He is, and that results in us being satisfied. Because our satisfaction is not in things, it's not in possessions, it's not even in abilities and talents and skills and all the other stuff. It is that we know the true and living God. Verse number 23, we can understand this truth through verse 23, but also look at verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. The Bible said, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. We've been meeting on Wednesday nights for almost a year and a half now. Lord, I need wisdom. And I don't know about you, he's given me some. He's dropped some into my lap. He made it real clear to me on some issues. And boy, I had to say, them things are good. They've helped me. They've been a blessing to me. It gives us the secret to maintaining satisfaction. How do we do that, preacher? It's self-care. Now, it's not like the 2024 version of self-care and self-love and, you know, just forget about everything, take a vacation, and everything will be wonderful. We went on vacation, had a wonderful time. Thank the Lord for it. But there was things that had to be solved that magically didn't get solved while we was on vacation. What? Life went on? Things happened while we were gone? What? But you know, I just need another vacation. I need a vacation for my vacation. The reality is that's not how it works. That's not how it works now, but self-care or soul care. It's not the way the world teaches it. You know, just whatever you want, you go for it and you just enjoy it. But rather, it is bringing yourself into accordance with the Word of God tonight by acquiring more wisdom and understanding. The more I understand about God, the more wisdom that He imparts into me, it seems like the better my life becomes. It's not necessarily mean that I become richer, I gain secret wisdom that nobody else knows, but rather as God teaches me and molds me, I am better for it. I am better for it in that sense. And we see here tonight that the reality is a spiritual person is one who is satisfied in the Lord. Everything they need, they find in Him. Sounds a lot like David in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? I'm satisfied. Everything I have need of, my dreams, my hopes, my desires, my goals, my life, my purpose, all of it is in Him. And the more I understand that and the more that I gain the wisdom concerning that, the better my life becomes. The more I enjoy it. And tonight we see that a spiritual person should be satisfied. But a spiritual person should never be complacent. This is as good as it gets. I'm just going to coast until I get to heaven. Give me a chapter and verse on that. We are to occupy until He comes. We're to be busy about the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Well, preacher, that's what I'm doing. Well, waiting doesn't mean you just sit still and don't do anything. You're waiting for the next step, the next direction. But in the waiting room, there are things to be done. We're to pray, we're to read our Bibles, we're to share the gospel. Those aren't things that you have to have a prayer meeting about. In essence, we've already been told to do that. We've already been commanded and instructed to do those things. So satisfaction is not complacency. Let me ask you tonight, just real point blank, are you a satisfied Christian? Are you satisfied with who the Lord is and what He's done for you? If He doesn't do anything else for you in your life, if you can't ever raise your hand on a Wednesday night and brag about what the Lord has done for you, Lord never gave me headlights. Lord never let me sell a car. The Lord never had a nurse come into my room and ask me for a track. I got to pass them all out. Right? The reality is, if we allow ourselves tonight, we can live very unsatisfied. Very, very downtrodden in that sense. The reality is that's not a spiritual person doing that. A spiritual person says, you know what? In spite of everything else going on, whether I get new headlights or not, I'm still satisfied. The Lord is still good to me. A spiritual person's satisfaction, a spiritual person's safety, and a spiritual person's sincerity tonight. Are you a spiritual person? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for tonight.